the reason why I think that an appointment like this would really work out well, because it dovetails, you know, the connection back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you leave the Soil and Water if you were appointed to this?
It's just a once-a-month meeting on Fridays, so I don't think that there would be a conflict unless you meet only once a month on the same Friday that they do.
Okay. But you wouldn't feel conflicted, per se?
No. I think they're two separate different entities that actually, I think they need a connection.
Yeah, I do too.
More so than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, actually, Chris Crane may have made the initial nomination. We were looking and hoping to get someone, me or someone else, on the board, and then the advisory board, so that we can have a closer, a working relationship and seeing back and forth between different projects that are going on in different communities and everything else.
There's so much of an overlap. I mean, I really realized that when I came to your meeting that time.
Right.
At Reed.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
I mean, it was quite amazing to see. Not that the stormwater part would be reinventing the wheel kind of thing, but just how, I mean, we're still talking soil and water.
Right. So. I mean, they're different aspects of the same element.
Right.
It's storm and water. And there's so many projects that
yes. One thing I've gotten
through that,
so
to speak, pardon the pun.
The project that's been ongoing and has really finalized, I guess, now at there's an area in the town of Mamaroneck called Gardens Lake.
Right.
And mm-hmm. And the money that we had been able to get in there to do the dredging and the soil erosion projects and all, people will walk around there and go, oh, well, this is just beautification, I'm sure. And you could really see the overlap between stormwater retention, between soil and water conservation, just all of these things.
Well, and it's also, then it's also restoration, so to speak. So it's you're there from the preservationist point of view, the ecological, the green
Manursing
infrastructure.
Lake is another one where
Lake, exactly.
It's very much, you're really sort of killing a lot of birds with one stone.
Yeah, and
except people, I shouldn't use that around a wildlife sanctuary. But
right. let me interrupt this to actually call this meeting to order of the Committee on Appointments for Monday, the 17th of October at 4:01 p.m. I'm not sure why we have 4:01 p.m. 4:01.
Better than 4:01 a.m.
Yes, well, that's another mistake on the agenda, but that will be something else.
It's a computer program.
Okay, I note the presence of a quorum in the presence of Legislator Testa and Legislator Myers. We have a full agenda, and we've already been sidebarring with the first applicant. And, John, if you have any...
Let me introduce myself to you, first of all. John Testa.
Nice to meet you, Senator.
The question of the Stormwater Advisory Board... and Sandra is a member of the Soil and Water District. In fact, she chairs said body.
Enough said?
Yeah. He's a Republican. He's easy.
I don't like to beat a dead horse, We know we qualify.
You know how to pick them, and that's that. Okay, fair enough. All right, I think you sort of answered my concern about overlap and potential conflict of interest when we talked about it earlier. It, on the one hand, one doesn't like to concentrate too much in too few people, because the possibility that somebody develops either professional conflicts or just simply time constraints, and that is a matter of some concern to us. Westchester is a very volunteer-oriented community, but at the same time, people are also very professionally involved. And so the fact that you feel that you'd be able to handle both of those, should you be appointed. As you may or may not know, we're not voting on this appointees to the Stormwater Advisory Board until we've interviewed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
No reflection on anybody, but we've had a surplus of highly qualified candidates, our issue is going to be, I suspect, anyway, just working through a variety of people with a variety of competencies, and how we're going to come out of that, I have no idea. But
right.
I do know it's not going to be done easily.
Right.
So you may be looking at walking wounded here at some point, with everybody wanting to having a different view of these things. But this is terrific, and your resume really good. So it should be a lot of fun, and I appreciate
if you could just lay out also, I mean, the responsibilities, is it's an advisory board.
Well, Judy is intimately familiar with this whole thing, because she was around from the beginning.
How often do you meet and things like that?
It hasn't been determined.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is brand new. This came out of, and the reason I had come to that Soil and Water Advisory Board, after the 2007 floods, there was a flood action task force that was put together by then County Executive Spano, and he said, you know, you've got $50 million over a period of 5 years, and formed this task force. And we were able to start moving some of the funding through, working with different municipalities. And then we then created, sort of, we were looking to sort of codify this task force to make it sort of lead, more than a task force. Mm-hmm. And that grew into stormwater management legislation that was passed. And that included, the core of that was to create a stormwater advisory board. So it would no longer be a task force. It would be this actual board that would recommend, go through all of these projects that would hopefully come into the county, and would work to actually vet that and then propose projects for funding to the County Board of Legislators. And so a lot of it will have to do, the Flood Action Task Force used to meet, generally we met once or twice a month at a really ungodly hour. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning here in White Plains. It depended on how much, and we really were very reliant on the planning department for a lot of information and their expertise.
Right.
And so really it would be something, I think, that will be sort of a work in progress, depending on how many applications came through, depending on the need for how often it would meet. But we had seen that there was a lot of municipal interest in looking to the county for its expertise, especially in the planning department.
Right.
And all the, I mean, the planning department had invested in this HydroQual computer modeling program that it owns now, and that really could be very useful, so municipalities wouldn't maybe have to spend as much on consultants.
Right.
Because one of the requirements of this legislation is that the municipalities would come forward, or it could come in the form of a watershed group, like a Liz Wick, or
right. I mean, and actually, I was at the start of the first meeting that they're trying to get together for Lower Westchester County, and similar to what's happening for Northern Westchester County.
Yeah, and then I know the Croton watershed is working,
right.
Or and Mary Jane's group is working on something. So maybe as watersheds, they could come forward, and again, instead of having to reinvent the wheel with studies, et cetera, they could utilize what the county already has, and it just might make it all move more quickly and more efficiently.
The other thing that kind of dovetails with a lot of work that I'm doing is that, and most of it is probably volunteer or a combination of small part-time jobs on the side, is that working with the Tuckahoe DPW and trying to get their green infrastructure going. I'm actually doing a GPS input on our new GIS system, working with Deborah Parker downstairs and trying to get our stormwater online.
Yeah.
And that's something that I would really like to see more municipalities get involved with. And that would be drastic help for all of Westchester County if we could get everybody on board with the green infrastructure aspects of what is out there.
And using the county more as a regional supplier and hub.
Absolutely wonderful. And so there's a lot of things that the county can do to help municipalities in that aspect.
And that was perhaps the most frequent thing we heard from municipalities, was saying, A, we can't afford to go out and hire these big-time consultants. We're not sure we can come up with that kind of funding. You know, what can you do to help us?
Right.
And so anyway, so that's where this has all evolved from.
All right.
And it's until we finally get a list of people we're ready to go, then what's going to happen is those people who are appointed will then set up. They'll generate their own agenda, but they'll also generate their meeting times, meeting places,
The value of
an advisory board is very much driven by the people on it and how much they are willing to invest in it of their own time, using the county staff, as Judy said. It's they could be duds. I mean, the whole thing could be just dud out.
I don't think nobody really wants to do it.
Not from anybody we've seen.
Exactly. It's too big of an issue.
There's a lot of people out there probably, yeah. I'm sure, maybe by well, the, that's your what, list of candidates
yeah,
right. here.
Yeah.
That,
there's a
really
lot of people who've
sure
stepped up to the plate
forward.
And said, right. I would love to work on this. Yeah.
So, you're in the mix.
Okay. Yeah, this is
I think this has been terrific. Anybody else have any questions?
Nope.
Thank you very much. I'm really grateful to you very much. Senator, thank you very much.
See you around.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great.
All right. Always nice to be able to do things like this. If members could take a look at the minutes from the previous meeting, I'd appreciate it.
Do we not have a resume for the next person?
No, I don't. I'm hoping that she brought one with her. She was recommended by John Nona.
Mr. Foster.
Ms. Foster. Susan, well, she was on our flood action task force.
Oh, she was.
I believe I asked her to bring something.
Okay. Actually, I think, yeah.
If you want to go get her.
Yes.
I'll make a motion on the
She's
minutes.
She's an engineer.
Will?
Yeah, and I'll second them.
Cool. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I love it when a plan comes.
My understanding, maybe John Destin knows. My understanding is that the county executive has, I should shush. Well, except it can be on. Do you know anything whether there's any, my understanding is that they have been selected. But I don't think we know.
Oh, the county, the administration selection. No, I don't know any.
Maybe you
anything
can
more.
Ferret
it's,
that out.
It's not going to come to us, apparently.
No, it won't come
approval,
through appointments.
So I haven't seen anything about it at all. I would usually turn
well,
to Judy.
Well, like you're concerned about there might be duplication.
Yeah.
Hoping that there's duplication, or.
Oh, that would make it easier if there is.
Make it a lot easier, yeah.
Because
yeah.
we've got so many people. Maybe you can sort of find out where we are with that.
Well, maybe I can find out once we have our list done. I can.
Okay.
Find out if their list, if anybody on their list matches
well,
our
well,
list.
Well, we know everybody on our list.
Probably wouldn't work out that way. We'd be better off if we know who. That way, we're not going to be.
No, it would work.
Why wouldn't it work?
Wouldn't have a problem with it? Okay.
No.
Because you could eliminate
I think we know our list already because Melanie's been... We had a list. That's what Melanie's working
off
of.
If I get the full list, I'll see if I can find out if there's any...
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of people we could knock out. That's about as far as I'd go. I don't know...
No, but I do want to know. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about duplication.
There
could be people that the county executive has already put on.
Oh, just the people we
interviewed,
not necessarily anything else. Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Hi, how are you? John Testa.
Hi, John. Susan Testa.
Hi, I'm Bill Burton. Glad to meet you.
Long time no
see.
How are you?
Good,
you have thoughtfully brought us resumes.
I brought you some resumes,
thank you very much. One each would be
fine. Oh, thank you. That's great.
Thank you.
Just give you an overview of what I've done.
Oh, I never knew you went to Bucknell.
Yes, I
did. Oh, that's where you got your engineering
degree. Yes, I did.
Good engineering school.
Yes, we do have a file.
And an old Paul. Hmm? An old politician.
An old Paul, yeah. Way back when.
Way back when. Excellent.
It doesn't sound like it was that long ago. Or it doesn't seem that long ago.
I only got elected town supervisor in 91, and I consider that ancient history.
Yeah,
so
I know.
92.
I don't know.
Lord. Lordy. Well, the question that I've always asked people in doing this is whether you feel that you would have the time to put into this. And, of course, when you say how much time, the answer is we don't know.
We don't know.
But also whether you envision any professional conflicts in serving on this as well as in your professional life with WPS. I got it right. It's not Charles Selzig.
WSP.
WSP? I'm sorry. WSP. Yes,
I think I spelled it wrong. I know.
No. Okay. I just...
Time-wise, I don't see an issue. I did retire back in 2007 and 2008. So I had the time. I do work. I put in there. I do some advisory consulting with them. There are a couple of jobs that were going on when I retired, and I still, because one of them still, it's a development, so it's going to go on forever.
So, so I still go. Employment Act for consultants.
So I still go in and work, but I would say it's like about 8 hours a month at this point.
Oh.
It's not a lot, but when they need me to help out on things, you know, if the economy picked up, maybe they need me to help out on more. But I don't envision doing that much work there, and I don't see any conflicts in what I would be doing with them. So as far as time goes, I really do have quite a bit of time available. I'm filling it in with doing other volunteer work with the Rotary Club and the State Society of Professional Engineers and painting the house and things like that.
You've been retired 4 years and you're still willing to be painting the house? Amazing.
Well, we hadn't painted in like 15, 20 years, so but we do it at our own pace, which is nice.
Right.
So I have time available to put in on it, and I was on the Flood Action Task Force, and
I was just remembering the ungodly hours that we met at.
See, I'm a morning person.
Oh, you like
great.
That?
I like morning hour.
Early.
So, you know, on that, you know, I found the time for working on that committee, and I feel I have the time available to work on this. And as you say, I don't know how much time will involve, and it's a matter of how much you put into it, really.
Do you know that sluice gate still has not gone in?
In Rye, I know, because they had to go. They had to go to Rye Brook to get.
Yeah, all those intermediate and site plan and.
I ask about those things.
Yeah, and they had another flood, and then everybody said, "So, what happened to the sluice gate?"
Right. So hopefully it'll go in.
I know it should go soon.
It's unfortunate that sometimes you get the intermunicipal problems cause things to be delayed like that.
Yeah.
Because it's been, I think the plan's been done for.
Oh, it was done back in
the spring, I think.
Yeah.
Any questions?
None for me. Obviously, she had the experience and the desire.
Thank you.
And the working knowledge of what's going on, so no questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was so fortunate to be working with Susan on the task force. I'm sure you know, I mean, we've had, there's more people who have volunteered than we actually used as the number in the stormwater legislation.
Okay.
So everybody is being interviewed.
Okay.
So no one is being decided upon yet until everybody's seen and heard from.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, I like the work we did, and I'd like to be able to continue with that. I've got at least a flavor for what's involved in it. I thought it was a good endeavor while it was going on. I'd like to see it continue. I had the knowledge of drainage and flooding and things like that from my professional work.
And we know that the flooding problem isn't going away.
No, it's just going to get, it's unfortunately, it's getting worse and worse as you build up more. I mean, the state is trying with the new regulations, but you can't undo all that's been done in the past.
Mm-mm.
So you've got to be creative.
And these storms are coming more often. I mean, it is wild.
Yeah.
This was a rough year. That was.
Yep.
It was. It was. It two big storms hit.
Oh, I know.
A lot of rain this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, thank you very much.
I'm so glad
you're hearing your time.
Well, thank
you.
To.
And if you have any other questions, my contact information is there.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We hope to see you again.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Melanie, you'll file this in an appropriate place so we will not have nothing to deal with.
Yep.
That's very good. Thank you.
Everybody?
Yeah.
We are ready.
This one is for the Domestic Violence Council.
Yes. I don't know what happened to Ken Donato. Kenny used to be my police lieutenant.
He then went to work for...
Volunteer Center.
He was with United Way.
Yeah, Volunteer Center. He was the coordinator.
And then he went over and worked with the Domestic Violence... the court thing, remember?
No, I didn't know that.
That they built... That Office for Women entered into an agreement for the domestic violence court proceedings.
Okay.
So and why are you bringing him up?
Why is he out? He's being replaced.
Oh, okay, that's.
I mean, not that I want to ask the person coming in, Chief DiCarlo.
But I thought, for some reason, I thought he moved.
Oh, he was. He had moved.
But I don't see his name
anywhere. When he
worked
for me, he moved way up the line, like Pine Plains or something.
Oh.
So.
Where do you see his name?
Kenny.
He's the term that's expired.
Second line there.
Oh, God.
You working at the right resume?
Got him. Ken yeah. Donato. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe there's term limits? I don't know.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Joe DiCarlo.
John Testa.
John.
Chief, how are you? Bill
Good.
Burton.
Bill.
Judy Myers.
Hi, Judy.
Nice to meet you.
You're not making them sign in anymore?
I tried, and no one's doing it.
Well, you gotta give, juice it up a little bit. Put a pen there. That'll help a lot.
I gave the last one my pen, and she just held it there.
And
she took it?
No, she gave it back. But she didn't
she
use
didn't
it.
Sign it? No, that's so funny.
Good. You were so shy in retiring. It's
she was looking at the clipboards. So I didn't pay attention after I gave her my pen. I'll have to fix that.
Well, man has a full-time job. He's a police chief. And you've got enough free time to go and do this?
Well,
what is the attraction, by the way, being a police chief and going on to the domestic violence? Because Ken Donato used to work for me.
Yeah, I know Ken very well, actually. Yeah. Ken and I were on committees back in the early 90s when I was really delegated to me to represent the department in really the early stages of when we didn't have domestic incident reports. It was really, Ken was
instrumental.
Wasn't
even necessarily considered a crime.
It wasn't. You know, a lot of laws have been changed back then, but, there was a lot of police departments that weren't even documenting a lot of incidents. So that's where it started. Diane Murphy, who now is in the Office of Women, I actually knew her from grammar school.
And, really?
Back Aww. In my Hartsdale days. And, so really, that's where it started. So I've always represented our department in a lot of these committees, and a lot of times they were ad hoc. There was not that it wasn't organized, but it was like a beginning to. I think even before the Office of Women, there was a lot of things that weren't done, and then it morphed to even when there was police incidents involving domestic violence with police officers that had to be addressed. So. Every year it was a new issue to bring up. So that's where it got started. So I'm sure Kenny might have put in the good word for me, but I know Commissioner Longworth I've known for years too. And he called me up and he said he would like me to represent the Chiefs of Police on this committee.
Oh, wow.
So that's a bespoke position on this committee is the Chiefs of Police?
Correct. There's one representative on the Domestic Violence Committee. In the Office of Women that represents the Chiefs of Police.
I see, okay.
So that's would be my position.
Okay. That's good. And you have a personal interest in this?
Yeah, I've always been involved in it, and one of my jobs when I was working under Chief Kapika was to write the rules and regulations, and so I've been involved in our own domestic violence protocol. For years.
So you worked in Greenburg before?
I've been in Greenburg for 34 years.
Oh, okay. Yes. But you're chief?
I'm chief now, but my predecessor was chief for a long time.
Okay, yes. Okay, I'm getting a little slow here.
I'm sure you remember Chief Kapika.
I'm just seeing your address in Hastings, and I'm thinking you're now in Hastings. But no, if I read your current history, it says Town of Greenburg Police Department. Yeah, okay.
Correct.
A little slow, so. Okay, questions, Ms. Myers.
No, I think that is. I can see why it was recommended because I think you would bring the right kind of background and expertise to this committee or council, Domestic Violence Council.
Okay. Mr. Testa.
I'm interested in one thing. You know, I'm used to paramedic firefighters, but I'm not used to seeing paramedic detectives or police.
I could spend probably a week talking about it. The Greenberg Police Department, it just goes back to its our history. I guess maybe back in the 50s or 60s when ambulances really came out of the hospital. This is all rumor, but some police chief decided, well, we can have an ambulance, and we actually started off with, when I was a kid, I can remember, there were station wagons, there were ambulances, and the police just started doing the EMS, and it carried over, and now we are the primary EMS provider for the town of Greenberg. We're the only police department, I believe, in the state that provides EMS, and I think history's catching up with us, because now some of the reports that come out think that police should be doing it, because they're the first ones on the scene.
Right.
So we did the basic life support, which is basically oxygen and wound control and breathing and CPR. And I think it was on a grant. It was a Department of Transportation grant, because 287 runs through our town and 87, that they started a paramedic program on a grant. And they sent three officers. And then I was in the second group. And then we started expanding, and we now do the advanced life support in the unincorporated area, and we also do it for the six villages. So, to explain it, that's basically how it started. So, to compensate when there was only three of us or six of us, you could have enough people if you were a police officer to get off, but they had to have a paramedic on duty all the time, so we were being treated different. So, John Kapika, who was the PVA president, negotiated. The 10%.
First?
Instead of a detective gets 10% more, it could have been a stipend, but it was in the contract you get the
10%. You have career firefighters in
We do.
And they...
Well, the career firefighters now augment our system.
Oh,
they have EMTs, and they'll respond also, the paid fire departments, the volunteers. So,
great. You guys can live together like that.
Yeah, it works pretty good.
Yeah, usually it's tomahawks and
long knives. That's great.
I just met with the fire chiefs in town today on other issues. So there's always little bumps in the road. It's not perfect harmony, but it works pretty good. It's a good system, I think.
Great. Nothing else.
Okay. Do you get many calls in Greenberg on domestic violence?
Oh, yes. It's on the rise. I mean, I think it's on the rise everywhere. I looked at our statistics. It's... I think we had 620 last year.
Wow.
But a lot of domestic violence is not the typical husband and wife. A lot of times, like this case in New Rochelle, was where the father shot his daughter. And, you know, we get a lot of sibling fights. So, but overall, domestic violence is a concern. And I know we're having a conference on Wednesday towards police safety. We're going to be
Have you gone to any domestic violence council meetings?
Yes.
Oh, you've
yeah,
kind
of,
Have they discussed, there's an RFP that went out for domestic violence providers in the county. Did they discuss that at all?
No, not that I recall. I've been to the last two or three meetings, and I don't remember that.
Yeah, we have some concern about that because, speaking as a board member now, not necessarily anywhere else, we have a history with my sister's place and the Northern Westchester shelter.
Hope Store.
Sorry, I'm betraying my age. The idea of shifting around here, it's always unsettling when these things are going around. So to the extent that it's always nice to introduce some competition, on the other hand, it has an unsettling prospect for it. To see long-term providers being either edged out for one reason or another, or cost being cut in an area where it's so difficult to come up with funding. So if you guys could keep an eye on this so that it doesn't get out of hand, we need these things.
Our understanding is that the request for proposals went out beyond Westchester County, because a lot of the providers have heard from other counties saying, you guys do such a good job, we don't want to, step on
I sort of understand. I mean, we have good relationships with a lot of the agencies now.
I know.
And You know, when you do a request for a proposal, and I've done a few, and you have a good vendor, mm-hmm. and, you know, you try to work around it. And, you know, sometimes the town board tries to be out in the open with everything, but on the other hand, you might lose the good vendor.
Right.
And I've been through that, so yeah. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. It's just something that can bear in mind.
And it's getting, you know, there's limited funds now and everybody's competing against each other. And I can see that sometimes at the meeting. You know, you have,
oh, sure.
There's probably, I think, 15 or 20 different groups. I represent the chiefs of police, but you have different agencies that are representative. And, you know, they're competing against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what. It's harder.
Well, okay.
Thank you
very much.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for taking your time. And I'm moderating the conference on Wednesday, so
okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
If you don't make a decision, make it after Wednesday.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Now.
Thank you very much. All right. May I have a motion, please?
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Myers, second by Legislator Testa. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Very
you got the minutes. Did you get
yes.
that? Yeah,
we did. And we have several reappointments if you want.
Oh, let's do those.
Yeah.
This is Joe DiCarlo.
Yeah, we're running a few minutes ahead.
Okay. Okay, Brian Rauer, self-policing, business self-policing. What does that mean? So on the Citizens Consumer Advisory Council, we have somebody who represents, I guess, the business interest.
Well, that sounds like what self-policing means,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, and then we have American Advisory.
African-American
Advisory. Yeah. Two, Susan McPherson and
Claudette Stoddard.
Sure, I will make, since these are all reappointments, I'll make a motion that we reappoint the three individuals. Rauer, Stoddart, and McPherson.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Are they all white planes? Just occurred to me. This is white planes, too. What was the first one?
Well, let's see. Claudette Stoddart, Wizard Dress. Oh, there we are. Yes, white planes.
What was the first one? Oh, Tarrytown. Okay, good.
I don't want to stack them up too much. It's like the Peekskill day we had once, or the Osling yeah. day we had once, where it was.
All right.
Going back to what we had talked about, getting from Melanie is a list of all of the people who've been recommended by the Board of Legislators to come in and meet with us regarding stormwater.
Right.
And then if we could find out before we select any, are there
any overlap?
There
right.
may be, and also that where people are from. One of my, and this is just, you know, people I know and see and all. I think there's somebody else from Soil and Water who may have been put on by the county executive.
Okay.
So that would, you know, so just so that when we're trying to figure out how can we get the most diverse group
Great.
Coming together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also geographically represented.
And geographically, yeah, mm-hmm. because that was the one thing that I think we were, because it had come after the 2007 floods that hit Sound Shore so badly, the task force was often criticized as being too Sound Shore focused. Because mm-hmm. those were the people who were first impacted. You know, when it was first mm-hmm. developed. So the whole idea with this Stormwater Advisory Board is that we make it very...
Is there a requirement for...
It's not required, no, but we thought one of the thoughts was, let's try to make it at least broad,
right,
to the extent, I mean, obviously there's some Northern Westchester communities that don't feel they have this as a problem, but we really need Northern Westchester.
Yeah, that's where the problem starts.
A lot of it is the development there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not yet, no show?
Do you have a list of everyone who has been recommended for this, for stormwater?
I don't have it on hand.
Can you get that to John?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And that way we'll find out if we. My understanding, you missed this.
Name and town that they are from.
Yeah, and also what and anything. Yeah, I guess it. But it's more than that. It's name and town and where they're from in terms of from our not town, but for instance, Sandra, is currently on the soil and water. So write that down.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
Because John has volunteered to see if he can extract the list from the administration, and so we can.
Well, they might not give me the list.
Well, they might not.
But if I have a list to give them,
would.
They can say,
right.
Boom, 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 boom.
Or right. Even if it's not the people, but
no one we've interviewed has said that they've been asked.
No, but my understanding is I know there's another soil and water person who may have come is on the county executive's list.
Oh.
So okay. Then. It might make it easier for us to determine whether we want two soil and water people on when we only have a limited number of people. I don't know. That's my concern.
Okay.
Just so then we could spread out more with different people from different expertise areas.
Right.
And how many, if we could find out, like, are they all engineers on the county executive list? It's hard.
I don't know how much.
I don't know.
Well, you can
how many does he get to point?
Five, just like that.
You can Google anybody. We can find out who people are. Once
oh, okay, that's true. Just get their names. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Name and where they live so we can get their
Yeah, names and geographical, and we can Google to see what the background is.
Yeah, right.
Because I think that, in the end, is more important than anything else, is what they bring to the table in terms of expertise, geographical representation, and, you know, and willingness to work.
Yeah, it's a little sloppy, but it's a startup. I'm sure it was sloppy when they were doing the Human Rights Commission in the beginning too. So it's just the way it is. No point.
And Flood Action Task Force never went through appointments anyway. I don't think it was just a.
Oh, it was totally ad hoc.
It was all
ad hoc. Absolutely.
Thank you.
County executive just went you. So.
Yeah.
So, but it was you know, part of it was quick. It was a quick response.
Let me ask how's Marty.
He's doing good. Doing this thing, what he has to do.
I'm glad. Alright.
Who's that? Your son?
No, Marty Moore.
Now, is your son college age?
No, he's an electrical engineer.
Oh, he's out.
He's out of college.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
my daughter's in college. I have a daughter who's in we think it's her senior year. We'll see. She might end up changing and going taking some more classes.
We think
fifth
it's her
year.
Senior year.
Yeah. It
you
should
paid
be,
for four,
like,
but you're not sure where you are.
Where is she?
Oswego State.
Oh, okay. And where did your son end up going?
He went to Binghamton University.
Oh, yeah.
He had a choice between Bucknell. He was going to, but Manhattan, and he decided to go to Binghamton.
Was he there? Oh, he was gone before they had their big flooding. Boy, there's a place that had terrible flooding.
What?
Binghamton. Huge.
Yeah, he's out 3 years now.
So who does he work for now?
It's called Skay Power Solutions. They do data systems, and they work for a lot of big companies, and he's been becoming project manager on a lot of projects.
Wow.
He's been traveling a lot. So
where are they? Where's he located?
He lives in Rockland County, near their headquarters in Orangeburg, but he lives in Nyack.
Oh, it's probably more fun.
But yeah, it's good for his age.
Yeah.
It's a good place for us.
It's a real happening place, old
Nyack.
Oh,
it really is.
Hi, hello.
How are you?
Good. I'm Bill Burton. Glad to meet you.
Bill, nice to meet you.
John Testa.
Nice to meet you, John.
Judy Myers.
Judy, nice to meet you.
Nice to
We have something in common.
Yes, we do. What's your middle name?
At least Ann.
Me too.
Is it really?
A-N-N.
Oh, goodness.
A-N-N?
Just A-N-N.
Yes. Do you want to know something? This I don't care if it
automatic
goes on the
qualification, by the way.
My Judy, daughter is the, I am the seventh Judith Ann, and my daughter is the eighth Judith Ann.
Wow.
And it goes all the way back to the 1700s. Oh, actually, wow. The 1600s, with the first one from Holland was a Judic, J-U-D-I-C-K.
I like that.
And then that got turned into Judith. But I'm currently, my daughter just got married this summer, and I'm currently in an argument with her over whether she, I mean, she's not even pregnant, but I'm saying, you will continue this. She's like, I don't know. Anyway, okay, that has nothing to do with anything.
But that's okay. But it's a pleasure to meet
it's
everyone.
It's a good name.
It is a great name. I love it. Okay. Oh, I see Chief was just here.
Yep.
Yes, yes, for domestic violence counsel.
Okay.
He's definitely a good person for that.
Now, when I spoke to the gentleman, do you have my resume from him?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. There are just a couple of corrections I just wanted to call to your attention. On the second page, I am no longer on the Valhalla School Board. I resigned effective June 2010, and I am currently on the executive committee of the White Plains Greenberg NAACP, so I just haven't made those updates yet.
Don't apply for jobs very often, I take it.
Excuse me?
You don't apply for jobs very often.
What do you mean I don't apply for jobs?
Because that's an old resume.
Well.
And that's because you have this permanent job.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's permanent, because it's I have my job at the will of the people of the town of Greenberg.
Who have or have not put up a challenger to you this year?
Oh, they did.
They did?
Yep.
There is? I didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, they did.
I thought it was a complete...
No, they did. They for the primaries.
Primaries.
It was a tough primary,
Oh, wow. But you don't have anyone in the general election, then?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
It's a knowledge.
Well.
Oh, so you're the one who, they use you. This is interesting. I came from a town board background. So they have you doing the negotiating and monitoring the cable franchises.
Yes.
We had in my town, we had it was a cable advisory board.
Right.
And we did the negotiating.
Well.
And then recommended it to the, we had three municipalities for it.
Okay. Well, that's what I did when I first came on board, and I saw that they were sort of at an impasse with regards to the Cablevision contract. So mm-hmm. I convened a group. There was already a citizens advisory board,
mm-hmm.
but I broadened that board to make sure that we had input from the town council and the town attorney's office, because I knew that my expertise was not in the realm of legalese.
Mm-hmm,
and I
mm-hmm.
wanted to make sure that going forward with negotiating this contract, mm-hmm. we had the appropriate representation.
Yeah.
And so from my beginning of my tenure going forward, the committee now is comprised of representatives from the legal department, from the town board, and from the community, mm-hmm. so I make sure I have broad-based support and input.
And you have both Verizon and
yes,
Cablevision
both
now,
Verizon
right?
And Cablevision. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've got time for this still?
Absolutely. I don't know if you
know. Well, I'm beginning to get the idea that you've got a certain amount of energy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. I learned a long time ago in going through a leadership training program that what people often say is, you know, associated with time management is really about energy management. And if you notice my background, I have a lot of energy to do what I do, and I don't get myself involved with something if I don't feel that I can make the commitment and stick to it. And do an exemplary job at it.
so you're not crazy.
Have you been to any meetings of the African American Advisory Board?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was on the board about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Under County Exec O'Rourke.
Oh, okay.
And then during some changes, I guess, in administration, and then I went to work in New York City, and it became very difficult to get here for meetings at 5 o'clock in the evening, whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of got lost in the shuffle. And so then at the invitation of Barbara Edwards, I started attending, and my sister has been newly appointed. So I asked her, did you get invited to meet with the Board of Legislators yet? She said, no. But we started attending about 6 months ago, and then went through the process of being interviewed by George?
Oros.
Yes, Oros. And then receiving the letter of appointment. I've been sworn in by Tim Iadone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so I knew that there were steps to the process, and I just followed them as I was given instruction to do so.
And your sister is she a Beville as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Jacqueline Beville.
Jacqueline, okay.
Yes.
Is there some, are we having
we
a problem
just had
contacting
slots
her?
To fill? No, I don't think so. We just had slots to fill this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. We only had,
oh,
so it's first come, first serve.
Oh, okay. So there, okay. But that name has come down to you.
Yeah, no, I have the name.
Okay, because she was wondering this morning. She said, why haven't I been called? I said, I don't know. She said,
well, because we assume that there's only one possible Beville here. It was all a mistake, and therefore
no,
your
no,
middle initial or something got in. Okay, so fine. We're okay.
I have
just
personal.
A lot of people, and it just takes time. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I know. We're going through the same process in Greenberg, updating, reviewing and updating the boards and commissions, and I'm ashamed to say we have some appointments on there that haven't been reappointed since 2009.
So, yeah.
Just continue, right?
Yeah. It is.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah. Gee, that's almost up to date. Great. What would you see, or how would you describe, I guess, the committee? The commission has been around for a long time. The easy problems have been solved. The home runs have already been hit. What's the agenda now? What's the action agenda, short term and long term, as far as you review it?
Well, I know that the board has four main pillars, and I am involved in the one that represents my lifelong passion, which one of my lifelong passions, education, and we are beginning looking. Trying to organize around one main initiative, and that is to help parents get more involved in the educational process. Because most of the people who are providing input to this particular issue are superintendents, individuals who have been in education for many, many years and are now retired. And I've been a teacher. I've been in a principal's leadership academy. I have been on a school board. I have been a literacy coach where I have coached and trained teachers. And being in the classroom at various levels and various capacities, just agree that we have to get parents involved. And if this, and so right now the board is looking at developing an initiative to recommend to the county exec that there be a countywide endorsement for parental involvement. And so that's what my main involvement is right now. I've also been asked to coordinate the annual February Trailblazers event, and I'm when I think about
coordinating something, I think about who are the stakeholders and who needs to be included in this effort to make it, number one, to get the kind of buy-in that's going to create the audience that you want, and also that's going to represent respect for individuals who should be involved. So I'm starting early in beginning to organize this, reaching out to various organizations, various communities to say, who do you think should be a Trailblazer awardee in February? So we're starting 6 months in advance, putting this together. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I hope I didn't lose focus of that question.
No, but that makes a lot of sense.
I wrote you a very large letter there, so you hit good points. Questions, Mr. Tester?
No, none for me. You obviously have the background, and you're originally from Rochester, I see.
I used to live there. Your name sounds familiar. Did you used to live there?
I have a brother who lives there.
Testa. What is his last... I mean, what did he do there?
He's a printer. He's a graphic...
okay.
Oh, you come by your academic behavior honestly, then.
What's that?
Familiarly. For your, he teaches
I'm a teacher. High school teacher.
Printing.
Okay.
Printing technology.
Wow. Well, I used to...
He lives in Greece, actually.
He lives in Greece. I lived there for 9 years, and, you know, Rochester is beautiful in the summer.
Yeah.
And in the early fall.
Fall comes early, spring comes late.
If you don't have a wardrobe of down clothes, I tell you, it's very cold up there. So, I have a question.
Sure.
What is the relationship between the Board of Legislators and the various commissions and boards?
Very amicable. The charter provides that legislators, the legislative committees, in this case the Disappointments Committee, interview and recommend based on the county executive's nomination, or in the few cases where the Board of Legislators puts people on this directly.
Okay.
We can only reject people who are recommended. But we recommend them to the full board for an appointment, and that's what we will be doing in the vast majority of situations.
Okay.
So it is not a we're not the U.S. Senate.
We're not
an advising consent sort of situation. It's a little bit different. So that's why you've been on there for a while now, and that's why you were sworn in. So
because
it seems a little strange. Well, because you said that Tim Idoni had already sworn you in.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's where it comes from.
Seems a little backwards, the process, doesn't
sure.
it?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Okay.
Westchester's different in a lot of ways. This is one of them. So, okay.
So you make the recommendation now after the person has been sworn in. You make a recommendation.
Exactly
to
right.
Accept.
Does it make any sense?
Or not accept?
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Does it make any sense? You can be honest. Tell me no.
That's why we just say it.
Good. Okay, the answer is no. It doesn't make any sense. It's just the system that we have.
Okay.
It is. It's strange. I quite agree.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I think we're in great shape. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good to see somebody like you coming around.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
I'm
this
glad
opportunity
to meet you.
Thank you.
Okay, same
nice
here.
To meet you. I used to be the mayor of Peekskill. Maybe that's where
you're That's how I know you.
Lord, his fame
you
precedes
were,
him.
Were you the mayor in the mid-90s?
No, not in the mid-90s. I wasn't mayor until 2002. Mid-90s.
You were on the board.
I was, not 98, I was a counselor.
Were you a principal?
No, I was always a teacher.
Teacher. Only reason why I'm searching my brain is because I used to work for Matilda Cuomo back then. I was the regional director of the New York State Mentoring Program, and I went around meeting with superintendents, principals, and sometimes they would call specific teachers in to develop mentoring programs. And I know we had a mentoring program in Peekskill.
Peekskill High School? Then maybe
elementary. No, we had one in the elementary. Okay.
Thank you very much.
But thank you both.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Alrighty.
Good luck.
Take care.
Okay.
Don, you're about to...
Yeah, I was
going to
get that's okay. That's okay.
And I was about to leave my pot.
No.
Take care.
Another chance.
You know, before we.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Oh,
But I want to ask one thing. It just occurred to me, and I'm going to ask you if you do this. I was looking, while she was talking, I was looking at the attendance sheet, which I haven't done that much.
I was looking before.
Look at these names. We have, I don't know if you can see this. Here's number 4. This person has been out. I know, we're going to do
sorry.
It. 5 out of 5 times that they've met.
All right, Judy, can you round everybody up?
Yeah.
Because we're on a
anyway,
very tight
I, this is concerning to me. Yes, if we're
we have to make a motion to accept.
Naming all these people.
No, not
going to
do that at this point.
Not going to do that? Okay.
My sister actually created some waves.
I see. Okay.
I'll
make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay, second.
All in favor say aye.
Just
we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
These people and say, come on. We're supposed to keep them out.